Instagram stories for Wednesday, May 20th. I'm your host, Daniel Hill. Today on the show, we're going to be focused on YouTube news because there's a lot to talk about. First, YouTube has launched image posts in the Shorts feed that are similar to what Instagram has with carousels. You can post multiple photos and swipe through them. Additionally, YouTube has launched a new metric called co-views for unique reach. This is interesting. It's not like regular views. YouTube is estimating how many people are in the room watching with you. We'll talk about it. Also, Rene Ritchie from the YouTube Creator Insider team interviews Daniel Wall. If you're not familiar with him, he has a YouTube channel called Behind the Wall. I actually watch his interviews and I think they are fantastic because he gets big names in music, songwriters, performers, and he asks them the stories behind the songs that they've written, which is one of my favorite topics. We'll hear from him talking about how you know when it's time to build your own social media team. All of that on today's episode, plus Wednesday Waffle. But first, a quick word from our sponsors. Let's be real. Nobody can actually keep up with AI anymore. There's a new tool every week, a new update every day, or even every hour for that matter. My friend Jane Lehner sorts through all of it and sends you the stuff that matters for your business. It's called the Front Row AI Report. She sends it weekly, it's free, and there's zero jargon. If you've been nodding along in meetings, pretending you know what agentic means, go subscribe. FrontRowAIReport.com. Again, that's FrontRowAIReport.com. Welcome back. Let's dive into the YouTube news, and we're starting by talking about image posts in the Shorts feed. Imagine Instagram carousels, but inside the Shorts feed. Here's Rene Ritchie from the YouTube Creator Insider team to explain.
Creators can now add music to our image posts and carousels in the Shorts feed. I'm Rene Ritchie, a longtime creator working inside YouTube, and here's what's up. YouTube recently announced an experiment that shows image posts in the Shorts feed to help creators reach and connect with our audiences in new and meaningful ways. We can add up to 10 photos in a single post, and now we can also add custom audio from the YouTube audio library or Dream Track. And YouTube will be rolling out even more music and new creative capabilities all throughout the year. So get with the image posting and carouseling and drop me your thoughts and questions in the comments.
Okay, check if you have that option, definitely experiment with it. From the comments that I could see, it was primarily available on iOS and not so much on Android. Definitely check it out. Moving on in the YouTube news, the YouTube team has announced a new metric called unique reach. What I really like about this is it's a little bit tricky to understand, but Rene Ritchie explains it very well. I'm going to let him explain, and then he does a little bit more of a deep dive into how YouTube calculates this metric, which is important to know because it's based off YouTube TV viewers. Here's the clip explaining about unique reach first.
There's a new metric in YouTube Analytics, unique reach, and it's a way to distinguish co-viewing on our videos, which can be super useful for things like brand deals. I'm Rene Ritchie, a longtime creator working inside YouTube, and here's what's up. Unique reach is a new metric, and it's different from the existing unique viewers metric. Here's how. Let's say you're watching this video right now on your phone, and you come back to watch it two more times. Analytics will count that as three views, but only one unique viewer. Now, let's say you're watching the same video on your TV. You view it once, but two of your friends are watching it with you at the same time. Analytics will count that as one view, but now three co-views for unique reach. Unique reach isn't replacing the public view count, but it does align with TV and advertising standards. It's from YouTube, so it's a platform-backed metric, and that means it can give creators the back-end data we need to estimate total audience impact, which can come in super clutch for things like negotiating sponsor rates. And it's available in YouTube Analytics Advanced Mode. So check it out, let me know what you think, and drop your questions in the comments.
Okay, that's pretty interesting, but the main question that people put into the comments is, how on earth does YouTube know how many people are watching that video at any given time? It's not like YouTube is using your front-facing camera to look and see who's watching the video. Rene Ritchie explains how they figure out that metric. Here's the clip.
So how does YouTube know how many people are watching on TV with us? That's a great question. And the answer is actually pretty cool. YouTube uses its own model to make that prediction based on factors like demographics or the category of video, time of day even. And the model is validated based on industry standards like Nielsen's to ensure accuracy.
So unique reach is an estimate based on viewing patterns rather than a deterministic count. The idea is to align YouTube's organic reporting with traditional TV standards and the advertising industry so that we can make sure that creators and advertisers and brands are just all speaking the same language.
All right, so let's translate that. YouTube is making a guess. They're making a semi-educated guess, but they are still guessing. They don't have a camera on you to see how many people are sitting in your living room watching the video on YouTube TV, but they can calculate that if you're watching that video at 4 a.m., perhaps it's more likely that you're watching that video by yourself than you are watching it with a group of people. What I think is interesting about this, and Rene Ritchie even mentioned Nielsen, that's how companies used to be able to tell how many people were watching TV back in the day. They would send out special boxes to people to have in their homes. Say 1% of the population would have these boxes in their home, and they would keep track of how many people were watching TV at any given time using those boxes. And they would say, okay, if that represents 1% of television viewers in the United States, for instance, now we can multiply and get what likely everyone else in the country is doing. But there was some sort of viewing metric to determine that. It was using a camera. The dog might walk in the room and get counted as a person. That was just a side effect of how it worked. YouTube is really focused on being on televisions here, so I'm not surprised that they're doing something similar. Even though they're not using a camera the way Nielsen did, they're still making some wild, semi-educated guesses about who's in the room. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to dive into some YouTube strategy to determine when it is the right time to hire a team to help you make content. Stick around. Welcome back. Let's move on to the strategy portion of the episode. Rene Ritchie from the YouTube Creator Insider team interviews Daniel Wall. He's a YouTuber, and in this conversation, they talk about when is the right moment to start building a team to help you with your content. Here's the clip.
My name's Daniel Wall. My channel is about shining light on the people and stories behind music, movies, and media called Behind the Wall.
What's the biggest challenge you faced with the channel?
Trying to figure out how to build a team and starting to like give the keys off to someone else to start doing a lot of the things. It's been definitely a process.
What's your advice on team building? I know some people say always get an editor first. Some people say get a manager first. Some people say get someone to hire for you first.
I think I've found when you find people who are very passionate, it's often, and really believe in what you're doing, it's often better than finding just people who are talented. Because you can always teach someone to do something, but you can't ever teach someone to be passionate in what you're building.
I've also heard trustworthy, like you have to be able to depend on them to get the job done.
100%. That's probably one of the most important things, yeah.
Was there a moment where you realized your channel was going to like just do well, you could make that your career?
YouTube was actually like when some of the shorts started taking off in 2021, it allowed me to be like, wow, I could actually do this for a living. And then probably the first video that changed everything was I got to meet Coldplay backstage, my favorite band of all time.
Yeah.
And I asked how many likes to sing on stage to Chris Martin. He said 100,000. It hit it in 6 hours on YouTube. So,
do you think about television when you're making your videos?
Yes, 100%. Incorporated for television. Because I hear that YouTube is like becoming the lead.
Yeah, it's TV for a lot of people.
Yeah. And even my family and I, we sit down and we watch YouTube on the TV.
When people are watching as a family, your kids are watching and they see your channel, what do you hope they learn from it? What do they get from it?
I hope that they're inspired to follow their passions, to follow their dreams. And I hope that they learn the actual aspects to... I really want to focus on the people who are creatives, people who are songwriters, singers, artists, voice actors, people who are creatives specifically. So I hope they know that there's no perfect path for anyone. And as you continue to grow as a creative, your path will always be different from someone else. And so it's just about continuing to go and the consistency of it. I think that's probably the most important thing.
What is the best advice a creator has ever given you?
When I talk to, there's a guy named Paul Anka. He's written a lot of really great songs. One of them is Put Your Head on My Shoulders or Frank Sinatra's My Way. And I think it took me a long time to understand this, but he said, good is the enemy of great. So try to be great every day. I feel like a lot of people aim for good, but if you can just aim for 10% better and try to do your greatest, it's better than just aiming for good.
Okay, that's the end of the clip. If you have never seen Daniel Wall's channel, definitely go check it out. He has an interview with Ryan Tedder, who's the singer from One Republic. If you're not familiar with Ryan Tedder or One Republic, trust me, you've heard their songs a billion times. And if you're not familiar with the songs that Ryan Tedder has recorded, you're definitely familiar with the songs that he's written, because he's written songs for every single pop star out there. And he talks about the music industry, what it's like to think you're going to have a hit song on someone's album and it's going to be the lead single, then you find out it's not. The whole thing is just fantastic. So definitely check out Daniel Wall's channel. I'll link to it in the show notes. That is it for today's episode. If you want to hear me talk about another topic that may or may not be related to social media, stick around after the break.
Instagram news got you covered, sometimes even TikTok. Relevant platforms in the metaverse ahead of the wave, without a break or a pit stop. Still waiting for Zuckerberg to give me the big job.
Pause.
Use trademarks and logos with Insta's permission, of course. If you like the show and you gain some good info, maybe leave a review. It's a type of applause. Just drop me a message if you want to collab. If you got some good content or you want to run ads, at Daniel Hill Media is where I am. TikTok, Facebook and Instagram.
Oh, hey, thanks for sticking around to hear me talk about something else. I want to make a prediction for the accessory of the summer, meaning what you will see people buying and wearing this summer. I want to make the prediction right now that this summer you are going to see people wearing over-the-head headphones with the orange foam like people wore in the 80s. I'm basing this on two different things. Number one, in the Supergirl trailer, which is a movie that comes out next month, the Supergirl is wearing them throughout the trailer. Second, I recently watched the Olivia Rodrigo Drop Dead video, and she's also wearing the exact same headphones with the orange foam. If you're not 100% sure what I'm talking about, Marty McFly wore them in Back to the Future. Everyone had them in the 80s and the 90s. They are not very comfortable, but yet they are a completely different aesthetic from the AirPods and wireless earbuds that we've been using for so, so long. I'm saying this because right now you can get Bluetooth ones for relatively cheaply, within 20 bucks. So if you want to try some new headphones, maybe just something different for the summer that's going to definitely be trendy, make the investment, spend the 20 bucks, get the headphones. If you don't like them, send them back after, you know, whatever, a couple of weeks. You could totally do that. But I am putting money on the fact right now that those orange headphones are going to be everywhere. I will link to exactly what I'm talking about in the show notes so you can check it out for yourself. Thank you for listening to me talk about something else. You have no idea how gratifying it is to just talk about something different for 30 seconds or a minute.